Hey everybody, this is Stelly FT.
And this is Heaton Cha. And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about why design is important at the early stage of your startup.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yet. We want you to do your best.
Yeah. I mean, you're super into products. You see a ton, especially kind of you're a pretty strategic mind when it comes to product development and being competitive in the market. And, you know, I think we've seen a trend over the past, 5 to 10 years where design used to be much more of a... You know, having software that was designed really beautifully seemed to be much more rare than it is today. At the same time, today it seems to me that some kind of like common best practices on design, or whenever something new becomes fashionable in the way that we design software, that boom, all of a sudden you see kind of very similar design patterns and design philosophies applied everywhere. So I was just super curious to talk to you about the importance of design in today's world, and then more specifically, how important is design in the early days, and if we get to it, even like how to be competitive with design in a world where people seem to like copy whatever else is out there and seem to work really, really quickly.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started building products, it was like 2005, and so that was like 12 years ago. And it was easy to stand out by having a better design than other people. And it was much harder also to create that great or decent looking thing. And so, you know, it was an advantage at the time. And over time, now 12 years later, to me, when I look at the world, it's like it's so much easier to have a design that looks decent. Yet many startups tend not to think about that, or even know the difference between a good design, a great design, and a really bad design. And it can impact them greatly. And so I should caveat this, though, and say if you're building an engineering-focused like tool like a Twilio or something like that, it's much more important that your APIs work and that they're easy to use and they're well-documented than it is that your design looks fantastic. Now, on the other extreme end, if you're building a product for designers, they're really picky and they're opinionated, and there is a, you know, level of design you need that you don't need if you're building a tool for engineers. So I'll start by saying the context of who your customer is probably matters more than anything else in the first place. So focus on that first and realize where you need to sort of where your level needs to be. The other thing I think that's important is all of us are in markets where we're competing with other folks. So making something look, you know, on par with your sort of industry is good. If it looks differentiated in good ways, that's even better, because then hopefully it can help you stand out. All this being said, though, I would take something that is usable, well-researched, and it just feels good when you use it, than something that's super pretty or has all these illustrations everywhere, or, you know, really pops when you look at it. Because for me, the usability of something trumps the sort of quality of the design of it.
Unless you're into high fashion, you know.
Totally true, right? Totally different category.
I'm currently hanging out in New York, hence why that example popped up in my head.
Fair.
So you would say, so I love the first point, which is, you know, look at your market, look at who you're serving. Depending on your customer's needs, design will play a different role and have a different type of weight. Look at your competitors. That also obviously, you know, creates context, which within you have to play and operate. But the last thing that you brought up in my is basically that in most cases for you, UX, user experience trumps design from not from experience point of view, but from a prettiness point of view, like how
or even
beautiful,
brand.
Or even
or
brand.
Even brand.
Yeah.
Right? Like people spend a lot of time on making the best logo or the best brand, you know, whatever that means early in the early stage when it's like, Like, you know, the worst offenders that I see, not to call any names out because I won't, are when you look at someone's marketing website and it looks really great, but then you start looking at either screenshots of the product or you log into the product, you sign up for the product, you're like, what? It didn't match up. That means they spent more time on their marketing, their branding, than they did on the actual product itself and making it, as I was saying, usable.
So back in the day, I used to tell people that they should not waste any of their time on logo, on branding, on prettifying things. Design was fairly low in my ranking list of things you had to do, right? I was like obsessed about the customer, get the product out there, make sure it creates value, make sure it gets traction. You can figure things out later. The only reason why I closed out as a logo is that a bunch of people got sick of me telling them we don't need a logo, and eventually they put a job on 99design and they selected a logo and posted it in company chat, and everybody was like, yeah, that looks okay, that's all right. And that's how we got our logo, right? I was like pushing back on a lot of this stuff. But I've also noticed that, and I want to get into that just a little bit, that the quality of design in software, especially if we want to narrow it down in B2B, in the B2B space, has gotten a lot better. Especially like early kind of early products, early SaaS apps, I see they look much better than they used to look. They have a much higher level of design. UX is a more complicated question because I would have to really use the product to know if the experience is great or not. But I can just look at a landing page or look at some screenshots or screen recording, kind of sense the quality of the beauty of the application and the brand and the logo and all that. All that has gone up. You mentioned that it's easier. I want to ask, number one, why is it easier? What do you think has gotten a lot easier? And then number two, if you started a new application or new software in the B2B space, how much can you neglect design? Is it a total afterthought? Is it something that you need to spend some time, but not most of your time? Most of the time is still with the customer and the user experience and creating value. How do you, those are my kind of two questions to you. One, why it's gotten easier, and B, how important should somebody in the early days in B2B, where should they rank design in kind of the overall priority list?
Yeah, I mean, I was saying it's gotten easier. The reason I think it's gotten easier is because like there's just so many more designers that can do something that I would consider average today, which makes your business look decent enough where you can, you know, get on with like the design and the user experience of it and everything. And also, over time, there's been so many more products that have come to market that there are certain norms around user experience that you can imitate. And it's not just you're getting away with it. It's not that you're copying anyone else. It's just that there are products out there with millions of users, even on the B2B side. And so people have gotten familiar with certain patterns. So to me, like, it depends what you're building and what category you're in. But at the end of the day, you should be able to take a average designer and build out whatever you need to build out for your market. It's like design isn't unique anymore, especially in the early stages, because an average design you can get away with. What ends up being unique is your approach to picking the problem you solve and solving that problem better than anyone else. And usually that doesn't have to do with innovating on the design. So starting a new B2B product today, to me, I would just find a lot of the normal patterns, find at least an average designer who can make things just look good. The typography they know how to do, and spacing is something that's important to me, at least making sure they're using the grid, you know, as they call it, and all that. And then that's it. I wouldn't get too much more complicated than that, in my opinion, as long as they can make something look good, look average, but the user experience of it can be nailed.
What's your take on user experience? Has user experience also gotten better, or have we just made things prettier in the B2B space, but not necessarily that they are much easier to use, much easier to understand, and with much higher utility, you know, per usage?
I think the more products that have come to market, the worse a lot of the user experiences have gotten, partly because of what I just said. Not to be contradictory to what I just said, but like because there are products that are popular with millions of users, people tend to just copy them in terms of the patterns that have been developed. But a lot of times people copy them because they don't know any better. So they don't know why those patterns exist, or they don't do their own user testing or user research on these screens. So they don't really realize that like what might work for Dropbox might not work for you from a UX UI standpoint. So I think we've gotten worse because it's easier to get away with it in the short run because, you know, we think we can just put something out there that looks like Dropbox, that has the same patterns or looks like Basecamp. You know, I mean, just look at Basecamp. They keep changing their design. Why do they keep doing that? I mean, they invented this whole top bar at the top with all these tabs. Now you look at their product, there is no top bar with tabs. It's just this whole other weird looking thing. And I say weird because when you look at it, it does not, when you, if you use that product, it does not feel like any other product you've used before. Yet it feels pretty smooth. And they, but they are the exception. They tend to push the limits and really do a bunch of research and really like push the limits on like what's innovative in terms of design and what's right. And I think it's much harder to get something right when you're trying to innovate on the design at the same time. So if your team does not have the skill set to innovate on design, do not innovate on design. If your team does not have the skill set to go beyond copying something else, then make sure when you copy it, whatever it may be, that you go run user testing on it or do some user research, even if it is print your screen out, go to a coffee shop or, you know, whatever and show somebody it and say, does this make any sense? Because the thing is, like, you have no excuse to build something because you copied someone else because you don't have the skills, which is totally most people, but you don't have an excuse not to make it right or make it better by just learning what, where, you know, people have problems with it. So I guess I'm just super amazed. This is what my rant's about. I'm super amazed at the fact that people are just copying blindly other companies' user interfaces that don't exactly apply to their business and then not making it better. You can copy it. It's cool. Like if you most of us don't know any better, but you have your own customers. You have your own audience. You need to eventually go tune it to them. Otherwise, your product will fail.
I love it. That goes back to so much of the wise advice that we recently give, which is basically just be more intimate with your customer, be closer to your customer, get insights, serve them, observe them, talk to them, spend time with them. They should be the source of most of your inspiration when it comes to how the product should behave and what it should do versus what is fashionable and what other companies do.
Yeah, I find myself feeling stupid sometimes when I tell people that because it's like, that's my answer. So like, and it's not my answer for product. It's my answer for sales. It's my answer for marketing. It's my answer for product. It's my answer for business development. It's my answer for any part of the company. It's even my answer for managers. The manager's like, how do I become a better manager? I'm like, who's your customer? Who's your customer? Oh, the customer. No. Who's your customer manager? You're the person who's managing to you. The people who report to you are your customer. Go talk to your customer.
Dude, you know what? We need to put together a book. It's going to be called The Secret for B2B. It's going to have like the secret cover. And it's going to be like all the one answer to rule them all. And it's going to be every chapter is how to support people, how to do marketing, how to do sales, how to do product development. And it's going to be just the same chapter, you know, printed again for the same kind of question. We need to do that.
Yeah, and you could say that for B2C as well, right? Yeah. Like Facebook is successful and they get 1 billion people to come back to their product every day, I'll bet now, just because they listen to their customer. And they don't just listen to them, they talk to them, they figure out what to do. You know, and by listen, I don't mean that you go do what they say. It's just you're spending time with them. You're really trying to understand what they think. Because honestly, without them, like you're nothing.
I'll round up this episode with this. So I think that's the tip for the episode, really. But I'll round it up with a Facebook-specific story, funny enough. One of our earliest angel investors was a very early Facebook engineer. And it was funny. He was telling us in the very early days that Facebook was so self-aware that they were not good at designing things to make them really pretty, that their whole philosophy was to undesign Facebook, which basically was their internal code word for, let's not even try to make anything pretty, no rounded corners, no shadows, which was the big thing back then, like the Apple design that all the apps copied. Let's just make this as simple, as bare-boned, white, straight lines, you know, just like make this as little design as possible, because we as an engineering team will be able to then just do it ourselves. And we're not going to try to compensate for something that we're really bad at. And that was what made the Facebook, that was part of, not all, but part of what made Facebook stand out. compared to a bunch of other social network competitors was the simplicity, how fast it was, how simple, how clean. It was not the only thing, and I won't suggest that that was the thing that made it successful, but it played a little part, that self-awareness and the philosophy. I just always remember him using the naming of undesigning things. When you're not good at designing them, just undesign them. You know, take away all the fancy stuff and all the fashionable stuff and just make it as simple as possible. I always loved that story, and I felt like it fits beautifully into today's discussion.
I agree completely. That's a great story.
All right, I think that's it from us for this episode. Make sure to go to thestartupchat.com and give us your email address. If you're not already on the list, we're starting to send more exclusive content, more emails out to the list. And also, if you like the episodes, just tell a friend. Make sure to give us a rating on iTunes. This is it from us for this episode.
Later.